The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Monday, September 19th, and we've got a lot of great stuff to talk about today. We're talking about the new house of the Clippers, talking about Booger Boy of the Week. We're talking about John's new tattoo. We're doing a music Mount Rushmore. And most importantly, we are going to decide what the greatest of the Big Cats is in a three-way. This is the only thing John wants to talk about.
Dog, I'm so hype about this. You know, I'll be like up. I'll be looking at all that shit 6 a.m. in the morning, dog, ingesting that shit, bro.
As always, that voice you just heard, as always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my good buddies, LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, Bubbas?
Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Well, hey, everybody, how's it going?
And I'm Mike Gardabasio.
What the fuck?
I don't have a good Twitter handle. It's just my last name.
Gardy B, lean in.
I'm at Gardabasio, a.k.a.
Gardy B, lean in, bro. We gave you that. Mike. We gave you that. We bestowed that upon you, my friend, my brethren.
Would you say that if a white person thinks they have black friends, but they don't have any nicknames, that they don't actually have black friends? Would you say that?
Wow.
I think that's a fair. Yeah. I think that's a fair measurement. Like I've told y'all before how my homeboy Drew, we call him White Boy Drew, and like he calls himself White Boy Drew.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so yeah, I think that is a good, you know, yardstick here.
I think among all of my white, Asian, Hispanic, like Samoan, Polynesian, like every other kind of friend, I have like one nickname, and then among I feel like every black friend of mine has a different nickname for me.
What's funny is though, when we call a white boy a white boy, it's usually like that white boy got a jumper, that white boy cool as hell. You know what I mean? Like white boy is always like it comes before something solid. You know what I mean? Like,
right, exactly.
We call you probably a white man if you on that bullshit. That white man, so-and-so.
You are out here white man.
You white man like a motherfucker. But that white boy, we call you white boy. We fucking with you. You feel me?
For sure.
Cool-ass white boy.
We talked about this when it happened, but when Trez had made the comment about Luka, I know all three of us were like, if you've never heard a black person refer to a white dude by his ethnicity, you have never played basketball with a multi-ethnic group of people.
Even a bitch-ass white, like, bitch-ass white boy. In that situation, that white boy that's was like, cooking. That's why he said like, that. That was out of respect, nigga. Right. If we called him a bitch-ass white man, I would have gasped. Not Luka. That is a white boy, not a white man.
I like Luka. All right. Speaking of the white man, the Clippers are building a $2 billion
white man.
Cardi B. That's why you white Mike. That's why you white Mike.
A $2 billion new arena, the Intuit Dome. Let's get this shit.
What the fuck does Intuit do? Is that like it sounds like some software bullshit? Is that what they do?
Yeah.
I think it's a chip.
It's a chip. Yeah. It's like a processor or something. Like a Microsoft processor or some shit, I think. Right?
Are y'all thinking Intel? Intel is a processor.
Nah, I'm gonna look. Hold on.
Oh, Intel.
Oh,
wow. Taxes. Fucking.
That's
why them niggas was. I don't know. Lakers can't clown too much. You're fucking linked to an office supply franchise. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I guess all fucking arena sponsorships are dorky to some degree.
The Smoothie Center. Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah. Jackson's right. It's the QuickBooks TurboTax. True story, when my family was at its poorest, we actually got a sponsorship from TurboTax. They do these like, you know, companies do these like pre-roll, like video features or whatever, and then they'd send them out to different news stations. So they did one of those with my mom and us where it was like, because we got quite a bit of money back on our taxes at that time. And so they sent like a video crew out and they did like an interview with my mom about like TurboTax is so easy to use. Like, thanks to the Quicken Corporation.
they paid y'all for that shit too, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
Bro, bro.
And then the next week we got phone calls from family, like my aunt who lived in St. Louis was like, I just saw you guys on the news talking about TurboTax.
Bro, they prospering off y'all being poor, nigga. They need to be cashing y'all the fuck out.
We were also prospering. You know, it was good. We went to Barnes & Noble. My mom told me to get 2 books.
Uh-oh.
All out.
Uh-oh. Hey, that was a win, though. Barnes & Noble, 2 books? Shit.
Hey, that was a big win. Let's talk about this Intuit Dome. The number one feature that Steve Ballmer is saying that he's very excited about is it's going to have double the toilets.
Hella bathrooms.
Of any other arena in the country, because he thinks that the biggest problem at games is that fans need to spend more time in the seats. So they did put in more legroom, which I appreciate. I do appreciate that. And he's bragging about the number of toilets to seat ratio that they will have at the Intuit Dome.
People clowning
that's
that.
Such a clipper thing. It's something to clown, but it's very, you know, thoughtful and convenient too. But it's such a Clippers thing to hang your hat on, right? Like we've got the most toilets of any arena in the league. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, if that was a great gesture, but we really don't give a fuck to. So, you know,
that's like a Mattress King commercial vibe right there. You know what I mean? Like, we got more toilets, but at the same time, though, a nigga be needing a toilet, dog. You feel me? Like, the line outside of them shits be crazy after, you know what I'm saying, at halftime and after the third quarter and shit. So, hey, man, I appreciate the thought that went into this. You know what I mean? That makes me think the experience there is going to be fire outside of watching the Clippers. You know what I mean?
I totally agree with you. It was like an easy thing to make fun of, but I don't know anyone who's ever... Like, anytime you've gone to a bathroom at a professional sporting event, that's never been a good time.
Never.
Ever.
Never.
Like,
never.
Ever in life. It was funny to me. So, Steve Ballmer is worth, he's like one of the top 10 richest people in the world. He's worth $108 billion. So, he bought the Clippers for $2 billion. He's building this arena for $2 billion in Inglewood. And
with
he
pocket
said
change.
That.
With his pocket change. God damn.
Off the equivalent for me of what would be $500.
No, he bought the Clippers like he bought, like us buying some J's, nigga. Yeah. Like, you know, so from GOAT or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, fuck
he only
it.
Needed
like, he
one
just...
phone call to move the money around to buy the Clippers.
Right, dog.
But what I wanted to mention was he said that he flew all around the country looking at different arenas to get inspiration. So he went to Cameron Indoor and he built in the arena, the end zone is supposed to look like the Cameron Crazies, you know, the baseline mm-hmm, section. Mm-hmm. And he went to, you know, a bunch of other different places. That's what I was thinking was the craziest is like, he really did go shopping for the arena like you'd go shopping for shoes. He was like, yeah, I'll pop into a couple places and do some comparison. Like, I like this from here. Yeah. This from here to build a $2 billion
like
arena.
An outfit. He built that motherfucker like a
right.
That's exactly what that man did, dog. Sheesh. Good for him.
I did enjoy the video of the, you know, the like groundbreaking or plan revelation ceremony with Kawhi and Paul George with heavy. Tell me what time I have to be there and how long I have to stay vibes.
Yeah, look, bro, there is nothing glamorous about being a Clipper, no matter how hard they try to, you know, push that shit. Being a Clipper looks like a job, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And Kawhi and Paul George look like they were at their job at that ceremony. Like, it looked like how I would look if my job opened a new office building and I had to be there for the festivities, right? I'm not going to be fucking jamming and shit. You know, I'm going to be exactly like Kawhi and PG, like,
looking at your phone, goddamn, like,
yeah.
What song was that? What was like who?
That song that we've heard a billion fucking times?
I
have no
honestly idea don't hear music outside the music I choose to hear. Like when I go out, like I have my headphones on. Even when I'm out with Rada, she's like, "You want my headphones? If I forget mine, because like I have crazy ADD when it comes. Like it makes me anxious being like around too many people." So I've never heard that shit before, but like
you've never, I feel like that shit's on like every commercial that
who
that
I hardly ever watch TV, bro. I watch Netflix, nigga. Like you know,
yeah, that's been on like every car commercial for like the last 4 years.
Bro,
I feel like
I'm not hip to that shit at all. So I'm like, what's the demo? Like that shit is brand new to me, and it's so fucking trash And it's wild that that
the
is
demo
a
is Steve Ballmer.
Song. You
the
said
demo
what?
Is Steve yeah. Ballmer. The demo is Steve Ballmer.
Okay, so I mean, like, that's the thing.
Microsoft laptop startup commercial music.
But he went through all this shit to make this arena and then doesn't go to people to try to choose, like, some people that are decently entertaining to fucking listen to. You know what I'm saying? Like,
so, someone tweeted, I always feel bad when we see a funny tweet, but I wasn't thinking it was going to be on the podcast, so I didn't know who said it. But someone tweeted, Kawhi is sitting there like, I could have literally have texted Drake. Like, give me some notice. Like, we could have got someone here, bro.
He has the, this could be a, could have been an email meeting face in a joint that couldn't have been an email. You know what I mean? Like, it, I mean, like Tom said, it looked just like work. That's the most workiest shit I've ever seen an NBA player ever do. Like, it's like if somebody asked you to work on Saturday. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, he looked like he in early on a Saturday. Like, this some bullshit. You feel what I'm saying?
All right, speaking of some bullshit, our Booger Boy of the Week, at Dan Clark Sports. This is a wild tweet to catch a ratio yesterday. I'd never heard any shit
Man,
like this before
tweet,
in
nigga.
My life. Hold on. Dan Clark, no, he's on private now as a result of the tweet
okay,
I'm about
just
to
tell
read.
Me what was, what
he
happened.
Says, I have always charged $50 to $100 per podcast guest appearance as I spend at least an hour prepping, followed by a 25 to 30 minute discussion, and I also promote the appearance both pre- and post-recording to help grow their following. Yesterday, a guy asked me onto his podcast and I explained my fees. He responded with, quote, fuck off.
Who is this nigga?
I guess my question is, do people just expect shit for free nowadays? Why should I invest 2+ hours of my time and not be remunerated for it?
Hey, look. Fuck him because of that word, though.
Remunerated. Yeah, that kind of throws your whole argument out.
Right.
But, you know, I completely understand, and I'm all for people, you know, putting a price tag on their time and their energy. But with that, you got to understand, we're going to ask who the fuck are you, too. You know, that's going to come with the that's going to come with the territory, too. Like, absolutely, put a price tag on your time, your energy. But also, if you're going to boast about this, the whole internet is going to ask who the fuck are you. And no one knew who the fuck Dan Clark Sports was before this shit. Right?
I guess he's like a baseball Twitter aggregator.
He's charging this for baseball talk? Baseball? He's charging motherfuckers to talk baseball? No way!
I think you should charge to talk baseball because that shit is that fucking boring, though, nigga. Like, if you charge for anything, charge for that boring-ass bullshit.
I thought he was talking like NFL or NBA or some shit. Baseball?
I've never seen Tyler that offended, ever.
Baseball?
I couldn't imagine paying someone to talk to me about baseball, bro. Never in this life.
It is not normal to ask people for money to go on their podcast. You go on someone's podcast because you fuck with it. Like when Mero came on here, bro. Like we understand Mero's time is super fucking valuable. Like, but
more than we can
he's
afford.
He's come on the podcast because right. Exactly. Like, he came on the podcast because he likes the show and he wanted to support it. Like, that's the same way like people. We go on people's shit. People came on our shit. Like, that's what it is. It's not supposed to be a business transaction. Like, I don't know. That's just...
This is the thing. If it's, like, just a dude doing a podcast, like, yeah, I'm going to jump on free. I'm not... You know what I'm saying? Like, fuck it. You feel me? But if it's, like, a corporation, run me, bitch. You know what I'm saying? I ain't doing shit free for no corp, nigga. Like, you know what I mean? If you connect it to, like, a big name or some shit, like
you're not going
and I don't
on
know.
The Intuit podcast,
right?
You know,
if it's an Intuit podcast, hey, bro, hey, run me. You feel me? I'm not doing shit like that. You feel me? But like, just a,
I just say
like
no
the
to that
when the motherfuckers, you know, hit us up all the time, we be like, yeah, like I'll jump on that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Of course. Right. But if it's a big brand, we don't know who the fuck this is running. We never listen to it. Why would you not ask for? Would y'all ask for money if like?
I would just say no if I didn't want to be on it. I wouldn't do an Intuit podcast at this point. I have more remunerations than I have hours in the day at this point. You know what I mean?
I feel like I wouldn't even hop on some big network shit if I'm not hopping on there with like one of the homies though. You know what I'm saying? Like Like, I really only do pod appearances with, like, people I fuck with, regardless of how big their state is. I just did a fucking appearance with, you know, Michael Smith and Michael Holly on last Friday and shit. And, you know, they the homies. And that shit was on, you know, NBC on Peacock. You know what I'm saying? But I wouldn't have done that shit with some motherfuckers I didn't know.
You wouldn't have done it with Dan Clark Sports' baseball show.
I would have talked to baseball with Dan Clark Sports on the Peacock. No, absolutely not.
I mean, like you said, if it's the homies, I've never done, I don't know these niggas, you know what I'm saying, podcast shit from a big corporation. But I'm just saying, if any of them motherfuckers listening, I'm charging your ass. You feel me?
Run it up.
But with the homies, $50, of course, never charge. Never. And even if it ain't the homies, if they just, you know, I just want to like jump. We just jump on shit that we know we don't really know the people that much, but they seem like they trying to build. That's all. That do that off the love, man. That nigga weird for charging a regular nigga $100 and something bucks. You know what I mean? To jump on their podcast for 30 minutes. Nigga, ain't no prep for that shit. Quit lying, nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like yeah. I spend at least an hour prepping.
That's a lie, bro. You plug in your fucking mic, nigga, and you just, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't nobody prep for that shit, bro. You know what I mean?
No. Now that you focus me on that, that actually does make me. No one preps for
Nobody's
an hour
prepping,
for a 25
bro.
Minute.
Nobody's prepping for that shit, dog.
Just run me the topics and let me think of some.
Right, bro. And he's talking about prepping, which is a lie. And he on that remuneration shit. Get him up out of here, dog.
Remuneration.
I should be remunerated. Get the fuck out of here, okay?
Shit. The only person that's ever asked me for money to be on a podcast was Jason Brown, who we covered as when he was a high school football coach and he was on Last Chance U.
Oh, yeah. He seems like a motherfucker who you going to have to break him off something for anything that he does. I'm not surprised at all at that one.
That nigga.
But it was like he was like apologetic about it. And I was like, we're not going to pay you, JB. Like, I don't. Like, but he was like, I just got an agent. The agent's trying to get a taste of everything. Like, and I was like, I don't know what to tell you, bro. There is no such thing anywhere in the world as a podcast guest budget. You know
what's
you know
wild
what I mean?
To me? If you hit the nigga up and the agent got to get a taste of it, why? You hit him up. The agent didn't bring you that business.
Right.
JB might be getting that. hey, they might be doing that, man. Kind of on the that's not good business.
I want to talk about John. You just got a new tattoo, bro.
Oh God, we got
hell yeah. Show it off for the cameras. Oh, that shit tough, bro. Is there significance behind it? Like, is that symbolic of you and your lady or some shit?
People cannot see the podcast.
Well, it's two roses, like, crossed, like, a little cross two roses. One
two roses crisscrossed ever so gently upon your neck. That shit hard, though. I fuck with it, man.
Got it behind the ear, you feel me? I do, honestly, I've always wanted a neck tat, you feel what I'm saying? And if I got somebody, I didn't want nothing. Like I wanted a name on my shit. But like I remember I told Rada, like, if we get married, I'm getting your name on my neck. She was like, nah, like that ain't it, bro. You know what I'm saying? We don't do that shit around here. You feel me? So so yeah, I just got a little two little roses. I think I have like roses all over me. Like I got like on my hand, I got like my mom and roses on that shit. You know what I mean? So I just think it's cute, honestly. I might get, you know, Sumi's my daughter's name on my other side, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, to me, neck tats, like coming home to St. Louis in the summers, you know what I'm saying? All my North Side cousins and shit, they was always the coolest niggas on the planet. North Side niggas still the coolest niggas on the planet to me, you feel what I'm saying? So, like, yeah, like, they would have the cool neck tats, and they had the little gangster gold. That's why I got that motherfucker, too. You know what I'm saying? They still deciding the shit that I do right now. You know what I mean? My cousins from like 98. What they were doing in 98 is deciding what I'm doing now. Yeah, so.
I think that's how we approach life a lot of ways. Like, a lot of shit we do is shit that, you know, our little teenage adolescents self us thought was cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So. I mean, that's how most of the world outside of LA, New York, or major cities is. You go there and you're like, oh, I remember all of this from 10 years ago. You know?
Right.
You go to another country and it's exactly what you said. It's like, what were black people in America doing 20 years ago? That's Japan's whole culture. That's right. You know what I mean?
Like, dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, that K-pop, a lot of that comes from, you know what I'm saying, what they seeing on YouTube and shit from hellas ago. So, but yeah, I just had to do it, man. It was time. I was like, fuck it. And also, people think about it differently. Like, before, neck tats were scary. I got the, if you still think they scary, this is the least scary neck tat you ever see in your fucking life, nigga. Two roses delicately, like Tyler said, ever so gently tatted into my
delicately
skin.
Delicately thrown a strew upon your skin. Right. Upon your neck.
I can't wait to my lady's mom. I was like, think about it. I can't wait to show my lady's mom. She gonna be. I can't wait to pull up. Like, she gonna be like, "What's that?" I'm like, "What? What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking." I'm gonna give her the hardest time about this shit, dog. I can't wait.
I feel like face tats are like the final frontier, and even they're being like destigmatized a bit. Like a little understated eyebrow tat, like that. I think that's cool to most people nowadays.
I'm gonna keep it a stack with you. If I get that money where I never have to have an interview ever again and anything, I'm gonna get that little gang butterfly right here, though, little skeet one. Or I might get my, you know what I'm saying, some little like I love that motherfucker. That shit cute as hell, dog. Like I'm gonna be 50 getting this motherfucker.
I might wait till I retire. Stretching your skin out to make it not saggy when they're
pinning my skin with fucking. Yeah, dog. But yeah, the thing with me is like, motherfuckers be like talking about tattoos, like, you know what I'm saying, like everybody ain't ugly when they old. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we all gonna be, you know what I'm saying, soggy as fuck, you know what I mean, in the face and neck and shit. At least look interesting. That's the last thing we'll have. It's like, yo. Yeah. So I don't trip off that, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like that's something people always lean on when someone's all tatted up. Like, what are they gonna look like when they're old? Bitch, they're gonna be 80. They're not gonna give a fuck about what you think about. What 80-year-old gives a fuck about what anyone thinks about?
They're gonna look like an old person.
What you gonna look like when you're old? Ugly, nigga. I'm gonna look like an ugly ass.
Soggy as fuck.
Look like
neck skin gonna be baggy as fuck.
Nigga, when your chin face gonna be droopy. Your motherfucking clavicle, nigga. Like that meat goes straight to the clavicle, nigga. Bro, I don't give a fuck about nigga. I got more neck skin than I need, nigga. Shit, I might get more tats on this whole ass shit, nigga.
I would really respect an old person that did some like 3D interactive shit with their baggy skin. Like, do on your neck, Waddle, do like a sailboat, you know, like an old timey sail or something, or like or somewhere where you have some folds. Do something that you could unfurl. Right, you know what I mean? Right. Like a Mad Magazine, you know, fold-in image or whatever. Like, just get weird with it. You
pick
know?
Your
like,
own adventure, motherfucking book with the folds of your fucking neck, nigga.
Turn to page six.
Right, neck turn roll. Page. Neck look like a motherfucking Rolodex, nigga. Why the fuck I give a fuck about a tat, nigga? Shit.
Bro, this is random as fuck, but do y'all remember the show The Adventures of Pete and Pete on Nickelodeon?
Of course.
Nigga, what?
And do you remember do you remember the dude who had the woman tatted on his forearm and he would move his
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you reminded me of Ghost Rider last week, bro. Like, for real. I was like, damn, this nigga breaking this shit down. You would have killed in that show, dog. For real. The way you broke down the motherfucking, what's the name?
The cousin's friend.
Yeah, the cousin shit. I'm like, this nigga would have been a beast in a minute. You know what I mean? I would not want to play Tyler in Clue, nigga. God damn, nigga. Shit.
Goddamn Professor Plum. Right. In the library. He did it.
Yes, can sir. I just say a thing I don't enjoy about the world is that funny Twitter topics that make for funny podcast topics are now like so quickly turned into things that the White House has to issue statements on. I can't believe that Nicki Minaj shit turned into an international incident, bro.
Bro, the fucking White House had to release a statement. Bro, motherfucking Joseph Biden had to review a fucking statement about Nicki Minaj's cousin's friend's balls.
Lying. A lie.
Right, you know what I'm saying? God damn.
Well, the fucking, was it the Trinidadian president or was it the Fauci who had, like, had to do a whole press conference? He was laughing about it, but he was also like, we really had to spend a whole day chasing this shit down. Like, that's bad.
There were ridiculous. Four people on that panel talking about it like, not one He looked at his homie to back him up. You know what I mean?
The health minister of Trinidad had to do a press conference to refute this. Like, and imagine all the legwork that went into the research for that. You're calling around every fucking hospital, every clinic. Hey, are there any swollen ball cases that recently came through? Right?
But it's a real thing. We have to know. They're trying to track for new variants and new symptoms. Like, that's they really do have to chase that shit down. But he was like, he was laughing at the camera, like, can you believe this shit?
Right. And then they said, not one on the fuck in the world. We have heard of a single one person in the world on this fucking planet swollen whose nuts have swollen Nicki Minaj. Okay? Quit lying to the people on motherfucking Twitter. Just say you didn't want to get the vacuum, all right? God damn, nigga.
Because someone tweeted at her, why aren't you at the Met Gala?
Right. Oh, and she did all of that. All of that, nigga. But that's Nicki Minaj, though, man. You know what I'm saying? She creates worlds with her music and her shows. Probably an easy lie. That came to her in like 0.1 seconds. Like, I got one for you. Shit.
All right. We've got two topics, both of which we're going to really dive into here. But John wanted to talk about music, and then I have a big cat conversation for us to have. But John, what's your question for music?
I mean, the thing with me is, like, I've been listening to like a lot of old shit. Like, Drake's album came and went, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's cool, it's a good album, you know what I'm saying? It came and went. Kanye's album came and went. So like, I've been tapping into old shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, the things that always stick with me, like No Worries, Sir, Chasing Summer. And like, I was listening to Control last night and I'm like, nigga, like, you know, like people talk about Control a little bit. I think No Worries doesn't get the love. I think, like, you know, SZA's bigger than I think Anderson .Paak, you know what I mean? And Sir. Do y'all agree with that? Am I tripping? Am I saying that?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think so.
So people talk about Control. So I think that, but like, nobody talks about No Worries. Nobody really talks about Chasing Summers. It's like a niche group of people that kind of talk about that shit. These are the best albums of the fucking 2010s to me. You know what I mean? And I'm listening to Control, nigga. And there was a tweet that said, like, what song do you listen to and sing at the top of your lungs by a woman? And, it, you know, I put Body Party. You know what I'm saying? That's because I'd be that shit hard to me. You feel me? But like it might be, like, Broken Clocks, nigga. That might, because last night I was high as fuck, staring at the ceiling in the dark. Rather was out to dinner. And I'm just singing that motherfucker for like an hour and a half, staring at the ceiling.
All I got is these broken glasses.
That shit, nigga, yeah, that shit, hey, bro. Hey, I'm like, this shit, I can't believe she really made this. So I'm just like, yo, what are the best four albums? Like, Tyler brought up the Mount Rushmore in the group text. Like, what are the, like, you know, what are the best four albums that y'all have heard, you know what I'm saying, in the 2010s? And I want Jackson to tell us his, too. You know, like, because I'm wondering what the youths think if we're all the way off with what we think. You know what I'm saying?
Well, my Mount Rushmore, just keeping it, you know, R&B, is...
No. Say period. In the 2010s period. I want to know.
Period?
Yeah, yeah.
2010s period. Shit.
That's, yeah.
Good Kid, Mad City. See, I haven't put a lot of thought into the actual rap shit. Good Kid, M.A.A.D City is for sure up there. I think that's probably my favorite rap album of that decade, period.
That's not number one rap album.
That's your favorite album, period, of that of 2010s?
It's definitely the one I listen to the most still.
Okay, okay.
Of the 2010s, absolutely. I would throw Control up there, too. And I would also throw Yes Lord by No Worries. Mm-hmm. I think those are the two best R&B albums of that decade. And shit, I'll throw Frank Ocean Blonde up in there too, bro. Mm-hmm. Like that would be my four right there. Real R&B heavy. And I'm not an R&B dude at all. Like those are, you know, I'm really heavy in the rap, but I feel like those three R&B albums that I mentioned, you know, No Worries, Yes Lord, SZA Control, and Frank Ocean Blonde, those were just phenomenal to me, bro.
We used to clown R&B. I remember when we first were talking, we would clown R&B because it was so weak. And over the last like 6-7 years, that shit has really become a, you know what I'm saying? It's really came back. Up. You feel me? Like, with the young folk, they really making some fire shit. Mike, what were your four?
I don't have four, but I would just echo Good Kid, Mad City. And I would say I actually still, if I'm just, I'm like looking through my most listened to, if I'm looking at stuff I still listen to the mm-hmm. most, the Adele album. I love that Adele album, bro. Fire. I'll work out to that shit. Like, if I ride my bike to work a fair amount, like, mm-hmm. I love riding my, you just be like, on the bike, you know what I mean?
But I say for me, probably what I listen to most is like all R&B is like, I mean, and I love rap, you feel me? But, you know, maybe I've been watched for longer than I think. The streets weren't dead yet, but maybe they were, for real. They should have been, you know what I'm saying? But like, yeah, Sir, SZA, No Worries, and probably Blonde, like Frank Ocean, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Anti might be up there too, because I just thought Anti was so good. Acid Rap got a lot of run too, you know, going back to what Jackson was saying. But yeah, those are the best albums to me. Good Kid, Mad City, like, I love that fucking album. I played a lot of it, but I probably play Damn, and I play
Really?
Section, I play Damn a lot as of late, like ever since this last year. I've been playing Damn a lot. Section 80 is my favorite Kendrick album, though. Yeah, it's my favorite Kendrick album. Section 80.
I love Section 80, but Good Kid, Mad City, like, I don't know, that changed my whole, like, I picked that album up at Target because mm-hmm. I was like, this, I'm so excited about this. I need this to be like 1999, like going mm-hmm. and buying the album,
the physical album, the, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I remember I canceled my plans. I was going to like listen to it on my way to go cover something. And I literally just jumped in a group text. And I was like, I'm not doing anything else for the rest of it. I listened to like two songs and I was like, all right, I'm going to go home and I'll just listen to it for the rest of the day. Like, I don't know that's a different, the story of that album is just different to me. Like, I really think that's one of the best albums ever to me.
It's such a vividly painted picture of a kid coming to age in Compton. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like it's the best, probably the best concept album we've ever had in rap. I don't know if there's
totally
any other concept
agree.
Album that's
I would
that's
totally
touching.
Agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was that's when Kendrick became okay, like they passed him, like, you know, Snoop passed him the baton and all that shit. Sex, you know, like dog, like that Good Kid, Mad City was.
But people were passing him the baton based on like on rapping ability, right? And we knew that he had that, but Good Kid, Mad City to me was like to execute that concept as well as he did with the story running throughout it of what happened in the day. Mm-hmm. And then the way it ends with it starting over again was like, I don't know. I'm a nerd about storytelling and literature and all that other shit, but that it was really like I had not had a rap album kind of like grab me by the front of my brain in that way, like, you know?
Yeah, like I don't think Kendrick took any leaps rapping wise on that because he could always fucking go crazy with that shit. But it feels like Good Kid, Mad City was where we saw Kendrick be for the first time be a fully formed artist in
for
his
sure.
craft.
I'm saying
that's what it felt like.
It's bigger. It was the biggest. It was a bigger album for his career than Section 80. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. but Section 80 to me is the one I listen to the most. Like, Hold Up is my favorite Kendrick song. Like, I yell mm-hmm. that shit when I hear that shit, bro. Like, I heard it at South By, I lost my fucking shit. You know what I mean? Like, and I still, when I hear that now, I'm like, that shit is just, it's like Scissors, you know, Broken Clocks, where that's a spiritual experience for me. For whatever reason, that song gets into my fucking soul when I hear that shit. You know what I mean? So, but I just, Section 80 for me, just that's the one I just keep going back to. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah, about Good Kid, Mad City, I mean, dog, incredible fucking album. I love that fucking album. You know what I'm saying? That's when I was like, okay, this is Kendrick. We talking about some, what's Kendrick gonna be in the future in a different way? Like, we were talking about him being like a great artist, a big artist with Section 80. Good Kid, Mad City was like, okay, this nigga could be something. Like, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like,
that was the album that was like, okay, he's more than just a really good rapper. He's coming for the crown in this.
Right.
Shit. Like that was the album where it was like, it's Drake and Kendrick and everybody else.
Right. You know? Right. Yeah. Right. That's exactly how I feel. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that's a fire ass joint for sure.
Sing About Me, I'm Dying of Thirst was the one that just was like, I think I listened to it four times in a row the first time I heard it. Like, mm-hmm. I never heard because I cover kids in Compton and Long Beach, man, like teenagers coming of age. Like, that's my job, basically, is writing about those kids. And I had never heard anyone write about this generation of kids that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so accurately and movingly without like trying to take advantage of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Just telling his story in a plain way, but that was as beautiful and heartbreaking as that. It just was really like, it honestly made me like think about my career. Like, you know, it's like someone already did what you, on your best, in your best year, you would write one article like this. You know what I mean? It really was like, it just stopped me in my tracks. I don't know.
That song with Game, like, would I had to listen to that when I was in a mood where I was okay with crying. Like that song with Game, like he's talking about Game, like where he saw him in a mall or some shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that shit. Like I think Good Kid, Mad City. Like the reason I don't go back to it a lot because that time period, like, was like it was difficult as far as, you know, trying to figure out what was going on. You know what I'm saying, with me, and so I could relate to him. Like he made it, but he was talking about, you know, how the struggle. You know what I'm saying, like his struggle and all that. But yeah, like, and that, so maybe that's hard to go back to because of that, but that Section 80 for me was just fun. It's just absolutely a fun album. Good Kid, Mad City, like that, and also like, To Pimp a Butterfly, like I can only listen to that when I am willing to, ready to listen to the whole album. I can't pick a song and listen to that.
Yeah.
That is such like, that's like watching John Q to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, John Q, I'm not going to not cry. I'm not going to not feel that movie when I see that shit. But even though it's a great movie and I respect it, I hardly
ever
watch
it. You just don't have it.
I just don't have it in me most of the time to experience that.
I found since Shar and I had kids, I have less energy for that too, to be completely honest with you.
I was 22 when that album came, when that movie came out. I think maybe 20. And I was crying in the theater like I had a child and you know what I'm saying? It was experiencing that. You know what I mean? Like, that movie was, whoo, shit.
Yeah, when his son flexed on him, you know, when he was getting taken away, bruh. Yeah, that'll hit you in the fucking guts.
Woo, shit, boy.
The NFL is back, and FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay bet with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. Note, make sure you look for the same-game parlay icon to know what markets are eligible for same-game parlays. But that's not the only reason I love betting on the NFL with FanDuel Sportsbook. They've got fast payouts, it's easy to use, they're safe and secure, and it's America's number one sportsbook. There's no feeling like nailing a same-game parlay bet. So lock in your bet today on FanDuel Sportsbook and get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. New to FanDuel Sportsbook, they're also offering a risk-free $1,000 bet if you prefer that. Just sign up with promo code JANJ. That's J&J. And if your first bet loses, you get up to $1,000 back in site credit. That's promo code JANJ. That's J&J. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Let's change the subject.
Should we talk about big murderous animals?
I think it's time
to talk about machines of death.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
This introspective conversation.
Listen, I don't know how this came up. I think John had been talking about jaguars on like a couple of the recent episodes, and I was literally just laying on the couch, kind of bored, and I started looking up like jaguars versus lions, and it led me down a rabbit hole of research about the big cats. And I think we discussed it in the group chat. I think the order's all wrong, bro. I think lions are like number three. I think it's like tigers and jaguars for number one. And I kind of think lions are like almost a distant third, to be completely honest with you. I don't know. How do we feel?
I think tigers are for sure the number one, hands down. Like, You know, like you know, we see prides of lions. Like, bro, imagine a pride of tigers. Like, that would be fucking terrifying if you get ran up on by 8 tigers, bro. But yeah, so my top 3 would be like tigers, jaguars, and then lions. I think lions, their strength is in numbers, right? Like, lions are like the Golden State Warriors, where like if it's just one of them, you're not really shook. You know what I mean? like you're not really scared of Steph by himself, right? like you know, you're not really scared of a team with Steph by himself or a team with Clay by himself. You're damn sure not scared of a team with Draymond by himself. But it's like if they all come together, they whooping your ass by 30. You know what I mean? So I think Lions are like the Golden State Warriors of the Big Cats.
To me, like Jaguars, like I say that like the top obviously is Tigers, but to me, Jaguars are like the pound for
Are you
pound.
A Jaguar guy? Did I just hear that? You're not a Jaguar, you're a Jaguar guy?
Is yeah, I think I'm a Jaguar. Yeah, I'm not a
I
Jaguar.
I think that's a Midwest. I think that's a Missouri.
That's a country nigga version of Jaguar. Jaguar. Okay. You know what I mean? Jaguar.
How about that?
Yeah. But
I had a kid that I went to poly with who would say Panther. He couldn't say Panther. He'd be talking about Panther. No, the Panther would run up.
I got a nigga that doesn't say beginning. He says the beginning, like they're two different words, like beginning. You know what I mean? But yeah, my nigga hump. But I think Jaguars, like they're. To me, they're the pound for pound motherfuckers. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you know, like talking about boxing. Bud Crawford to me is like the pound for pound coldest motherfucker in boxing right now. You know what I'm saying? Canelo, mate. You know.
So you think a tiger sized jaguar would beat the fuck out of a tiger?
I think jaguar sized tiger, yes, would dog a fucking tiger. Their jaws are already stronger than lions and tigers added up. I know Mike brought that to the group chat yesterday. They're super athletic. We see jaguars getting busy in the motherfucking water. A jaguar goes crazy. Like, nigga, we saw it hunt the fish. We seen a motherfucker snatch a croc clean out the motherfucking water in their motherfucking habitat, bring him to his on some, like, you know what I'm saying, casual shit. You feel what I'm saying? Lions to me, bro, I'm going to keep it a stack with y'all boys. Lions might be pussy, bro. They might be pussy. They only jump niggas. Who you know that you really fuck with the only fight on some, like, you know, that's the weak-ass niggas, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's always 4 or 5 of them because they ain't going to square off with. They ain't going to shoot the fair one with you. A lion going to jump your ass. You saw, and I brought this up too. We saw the lion's head on the motherfucking hyena carrying a lion's head. Motherfuckers in Nigeria got hyenas as motherfucking pets, nigga. There's a whole group of them niggas, you know what I'm saying?
And the Joker keeps hyenas as a pet.
You feel me?
Lions got killed by a supervillain's pet.
Pet.
Like, you cannot picture a jaguar or a tiger being the pet of a supervillain.
Right. And we saw that one motherfucking lion was getting whooped by the motherfucking hyenas. You feel me? And then other lions came back and jumped in or whatever. But, you know, we don't see tigers cornered like
that.
They
wouldn't try it.
Bitches ain't going to try that with no motherfucking tiger, nigga. You know what I'm saying? And the jaguar, man, come on, man. Them motherfucking jaguars, they too athletic, they too explosive, their jaws too strong. I feel like the stealthiness to jump, like, bro, the jaguar dragged the fucking crocodile up a bank, out of the water, and then up a tree. I mean, dog, with his mouth, nigga, that's insane.
All right, here's some stats. So tigers are the biggest. They're also the strongest by muscle, right? So 715 pounds.
100 pounds heavier than a lion, bro.
A lion is 600 pounds. Lions are the smartest of the big cats. That is why they, you know, they jump people. They're social animals. They coordinate their movements that way. The jaguar.
Lions are 600 pounds?
600. Big ones.
I saw 570. I saw the upwards.
I mean, you know, obviously there's a big range for all
right,
animals,
right.
Just like there are for people. Mm-hmm. But so I'm just going off the average Wikipedia shit.
Okay,
so.
Yeah. I'm saying I saw 570. Y'all know I'll be looking at this shit, nigga. I saw 573 pounds.
Jaguars are about half the size of a lion. It's about 300 pounds. Their bite pressure is literally that of a tiger and a lion put together. It's the strongest bite on earth. They are the only one of the big cats that cannot be tamed. That's why you've never seen a jaguar in a circus, but you've seen lions and tigers. The jaguar, you would just have to kill it. It's just not going to do it.
An indomitable spirit. Y'all, bro. I respect it.
I'm telling y'all. You know what I'm saying? You feel where I'm going, coming from now?
So, yeah, the jaguar bite predator. Because here's my thing, and this is why I feel like I would go with the jaguar. These cats, they really do kill with their bite. They're not really, unless it's something small, they're not really, at least when they fight each other, it's who bites who. It's not, you don't slash the tiger
the gut.
And kill it.
Yeah, I'm
you know?
Saying, right,
yeah,
right,
so
right.
The jaguar bite is strong. Do you know how jaguars kill?
They bite the neck, don't they? They like it's
they
a,
bite through the skull.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
because it's an instant kill. So they say in the wild, there are documented cases of them intentionally popping the top off of a skull, not even biting through it, but popping the top part off and then going straight into the brain, bro.
God damn.
But the way they eat turtles, because they can go straight through even the giant tortoises, they can go straight through the shit. And so that's how they just
a turtle's just like a quesadilla to them, some shit, right? Like,
it's just a Crunchwrap Supreme, bro.
Right? It's a, what the fuck? God damn.
Pass me one of them gorditas, nigga.
Them quesadillas. God damn. Hey.
But that's how they kill. They go through, they put one tooth in the ear and they just go bap straight through anything's head. And that to me is where it's like, I don't know what it is smaller than a lion or a tiger, significantly smaller, but they're also built more powerfully. They're very low to the ground. That's why they can jump like that and everything, like John was saying. And I just feel like if you could bite through a lion's skull or a tiger's skull the second you get on his back, like, what do you do with that?
It's a wrap. So are we all in agreement that the cheetahs are the weakest of the big cats, though?
They're just too small.
And they also, they can only run for a short, like, if they don't catch you right in that particular time, they got to rest for, like, 45 minutes to get back.
They'd be out there risking their lives for rabbits.
Their hearts might explode, right, if they don't catch
you
that.
You can fucking, yeah.
That's the other thing about the jaguar, by the way, is that it can sustain its top speed for much longer than a lion or a tiger. And so I'm like, if your killing blow is the strongest and you're faster, like, they can cruise at 50 miles an hour and get up to 65.
Like, dog, that's they actually shouldn't exist on this planet. You know what I'm saying? Like, lions seem more fair to exist on a planet with us than a fucking jaguar, dog.
I mean, just the next time you're driving your car 65 miles an hour, think about looking over in your blind spot and
there's a fucking jaguar, right?
Going the same speed.
Chilling.
And he also, and if he wanted to, yeah, and if he wanted to bite all the way through your tire, he could do it.
Oh, easy. That's play shit. That's a lifesaver, nigga. That's a Mentos. You know what I mean? That ain't shit to him. Sheesh. How strong is a lion's skull? You know what I mean? Like, if you're biting through a lion's, because I mean, like, lion skulls have to be like, the way that they move, like, it's not like a human skull, right? You know, we're not built to, like, run into each other. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like a lion's skull has to be insanely strong. If you're biting through, like, lion skulls, through turtle shells.
2,000 PSI. Lion bite was 1,000 PSI. Tiger, I think, was 650. Or maybe I flipped those, but they added up to about 1,700.
Tiger's bite seem weak, but they got them paws, though. And they jump a million feet in the air, nigga. Like,
and they're big.
They're big
as hell.
Your
mouth is bigger. Yeah. Your mouth is bigger. You don't have to, you know.
I think when it comes to scary, though, if I'm looking something dead in the face, I mean, we saw that jaguar fucking picture. If I'm thinking, like, scary, I think a tiger. If I'm sitting looking at a tiger, that shit is beautiful, but that motherfucker is, that shit. Like, you can, I think an infant comes out the womb like, nah. You know what I mean? That ain't no pet bubble. Let's go, daddy. You know what I'm saying? Like, them tigers ain't playing, bro. I think that's the scariest. If I'm looking at some, I think the tiger, woo, that's a scary fucking animal.
Well, because the jaguar does not, it doesn't hunt you for, like, tigers and lions will kind of play with you. The jaguar, you wouldn't even know you were being hunted. It just bites through your head. Like,
and it's over with. That's like a lion.
It just flips your off switch. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
doesn't a lion like tear at your guts similar to like a raptor? So like you bleed out. You know what I mean? Like
they,
you're still alive while
you,
it's eating
you. They need
you
to be alive longer because they feed as a group.
Right, right. That's
Not fun.
That's not fun at all, bro. That's you still alive while you're getting ate. You know what I mean? Like,
goddamn.
You might be passed out from shock. You know what I mean? But you know,
the other thing, the other animal I wanted to bring up, and they're extinct. But how much do you guys know about the American lion?
Oh, I have
no idea about it.
I heard, I've read some. They're huge. I read that, but go ahead.
North America, prior to the spread of human, of like indigenous peoples and just like people, like pre-Ice Age, was just like all giant mammals. So there was a bear that was like elephant sized or some shit.
What's that, mega something? What's that? What was it?
Yeah. But the American lion was 8 feet, 900 pounds. So that's 300 pounds heavier than your large lions today. It was basically the size of a bear as a lion.
How big was the saber tooth? The saber tooth tiger.
Saber tooth was much smaller than the American lion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Saber tooth was more akin to the big cats today. Okay, but they pulled like 15 American lions out of the La Brea tar pits. Like they were
chilling in Cali, like on, like taking walks on the beach and shit. Like, fuck you mean?
The size of a bear, but with a lion's like.
I might go to the tar pits today, nigga. That shit right down the street. I might have to if they got an American lion posted up. I might have to do that shit, dog, for real.
So we have one thing in America.
But and was that bear was North America?
The
wasn't
giant
it?
One, yeah, the giant yeah, one, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, like I said, the North American, like, I was actually just reading about this. Avocados, which are pretty big and, you know, it's the tough outside. Avocados are like that because the sloths that used to be in North America would just eat the whole avocado. And then, you know, it would poop out just the pit. Like, that's how the trees were propagated.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were so big, they just would pop the shits like, you know, popcorn.
Whew.
Like grapes and shit.
Hey, bro. What time period was this? This is pre-human, right? This is
pre-Ice Age. Well, no, like indigenous peoples, they're not sure if American lions went extinct due to the Ice Age or due to being overhunted.
Wait, humans were hunting these niggas? We're like, we didn't have guns and none of that shit.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so they just, we was jumping niggas too because we, we was out here 20 deep with sticks, nigga, like, eh. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But I mean, that makes sense. 800 pounds, bro? I'm sorry.
900 pounds.
900, oh, sorry, excuse me. 900, that's crazy. Sheesh.
That's a lot of that's a lot of meat, bro.
Right, right. That'll get you through the winter.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll get you through the winter.
Like, I don't know if I've ever told y'all this before, but the one physical attribute that humans have that we're the king of in the animal world is we can run. We're the best distance runners of any animal, right? So when we were hunting these big ass animals with them little weak ass spears, bro, we was putting in work for days, you know, probably following motherfuckers for maybe 10, 15, 20 miles before we actually killed them and shit. So yeah.
Kill it, start a fire, get the smoke up. It's good eating.
Sheesh. You got to bring that motherfucker back, though, right? Because you got to bring that back to the people. You got to take that. And then, you got to drive that another 15 miles back to, you know what I'm saying, back to the village and shit. That shit crazy.
And then the other evolutionary thing we have is the brain, which is now our greatest weakness because it's been overdeveloped to the point to where we could be tricked very easily. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no lions out there confused about misinformation or deepfake videos. you know what I mean?
Too smart for our own good.
No lion podcast.
That's a fact.
There are no lions spending 4 hours a day watching Alex Jones. You know what I mean? That is a malfunction of our brains that also built civilization. That's funny. All right, that's Jenkins and Jones for today. Thanks for fucking with us. We'll be back on Thursday. We are doing the next three chapters of How the Word is Passed on Thursday, so definitely make sure you catch up on that. We're reading 2 more weeks, and then we'll be done with it. And then it'll be closing in on basketball season. We're starting to get closer to that. So we will see you guys on Thursday. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.